If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch is probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no.
Witch Police Radio.
All right, welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who has been on the show before, but it's been a while, and this is a very different situation here that we're talking about than your previous bands. I think that to start this off, I'll just get you to introduce yourself and give a bit of background about what it is you do, because I think if people have heard you on the show before in past years, those projects are very different from this one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say so. So my name's Seamus. I'm the multi-instrumentalist and I guess band leader behind the project Spinal Fluid. It's kind of it's a solo project with a live band, kind of similar to bands like, I don't know, Ministry, or how Rob Zombie kind of exists in that aspect, like, or a side, or Nine Inch Nails, something like that. But anyway, Spinal Fluid is my new solo project. Before I played in bands such as Dead Century, Greek Riot, and Hearing Trees, and yeah, this is my new project, a lot more in the industrial metal vein, like the band groups I just mentioned. Again, Nine Inch Nails, Ministry, God Flesh is an influence as well. Yeah, I've just put out my first debut album in April, and yeah, we're playing a show. It's been announced by now, but yeah, we're playing a show next month.
Cool. And yeah, I think that, I'm going to get to the album in a minute, because you gave me a copy. I've been listening to it quite a bit. I really enjoy it. But I think that, like, where do you come from musically? Because I'm so used to associating you with some of the other bands you mentioned, which are definitely not this style. I mean, it's is this more what you're actually into? Or do you just have, like, such a wide, sort of diverse range of musical interests that it makes sense for you to be in all these different projects, have been in all these different projects?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, like, I've always had, like, a pretty wide-ranging taste in music that kind of comes back from my parents, like, kind of raising me on, like, every variety of, like, well, they were, like, pretty restricted to, like, well, not restricted, but, like, adhered to, like, classic rock, like, you know, grew up on 60s and 70s music, but they really, it kind of ran the gamut, like, anything from, like, it ran the gamut from, like, a lot of stuff, like, you know, you did the Beatles, and then all the way to, like, you know, Black Sabbath. Not a huge range, but, like, I guess in the scope of, like, classic rock, kind of is.
Yeah.
And like, my dad wasn't still is a massive prog rock nerd, encyclopedic knowledge of that stuff, so and also, like, a lot of I also always just enjoyed listening to the radio and, like, a wide variety of stuff. But to get back to actually answering that, yeah, I've always, like, absolutely had generally identified with metalhead as far as, like, most of my music taste goes, I guess. I would say that predominantly, that's kind of been, like, the forefront of my music taste since I was a teenager, and always has been. A lot of my other projects were, despite being really fun and really musically fulfilling, I gotta say, like, not to diminish anything I did in those projects, but it was a lot more about playing with really talented musicians in genres I could also appreciate, rather than huge, massive writing contributions of my own, or stuff like I would personally build from the ground up as a song. I'm very happy to be a part of it and add what I could, but, you know, it wasn't something I would ever think to initiate. This is definitely something that's more in the vein of something I would create. I just didn't really know how to start it out without being a part of a band that already existed until, well, the pandemic and a lot of lockdowns and being laid off from a seasonal construction job kind of forced me to fill up all this time on my hands in my house alone and, you know, learn some new instruments, learn how to write songs a little bit better, figure out what I actually wanted to do musically without a band.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. The pandemic being involved there totally makes sense, because I think that, yeah, everyone was sort of stuck inside. They had to find either new ways to do what they're already doing or come up with a completely new thing to do, right? I mean, if you have a creative project and you can't do it with other people, you kind of are stuck either not doing it or doing what you do and finding something, a new way to express yourself.
Well, yeah, exactly. Like, I felt like I was getting, like, kind of close, like, just before there in 2019. I was playing with a few friends in a sort of thrash death metal band called Dead Sentry that was, like, getting a little closer to that. We played a couple of shows. One band is actually still around post-pandemic. We're playing with them in October called Slushhead. They're a cool thrash band from around town. They don't have any recordings out yet, but I'll see them October 18th. I'll talk about that more later. But yeah, anyways, I was getting kind of close until the pandemic hit, and then that band sort of ended right around that time, or my participation in it definitely did, and I was kind of done. I needed a break from being in projects other people started anyways. Like, I definitely had a bit of a frustrated songwriter itch that was not being scratched at all and hadn't been for quite a few years, and really since I've been, like, really participating in the music scene on a serious level, so... It all goes down to, like, figure out how I wanted to do that, and I kind of got to talking to some people. I ended up, like, finding a couple of music servers on Discord, actually, that were, like, pretty active, and it was kind of nice to talk to people about just, like, whatever sort of niche interest I had, like, be it, like, harsh noise that I was sort of starting to develop more of an interest in, like, jumping off an interest in industrial music and no wave stuff, and, like, I was also able to talk about that with people. Like, you can't just kind of launch into an in-depth discussion about Swan's Records with people on the street or just at shows. It's off-putting. I wouldn't like it if someone did that to me and I wasn't into that band.
Yeah, you'd get some blank stares and maybe people running away.
Yeah, you know, and plus some people, I've done it ranting about Ken Vogt to people as well. Like, it's not a good look, needless to say. You can do that on the internet, though. That's why Discord servers are great to get those urges out. And, I met a friend of mine from Charlottesville called Sylvie, who is a death industrial and power electronics artist. We ended up collaborating on a split together called Torn Apart by Dogs. That is probably the first Final Fluid release. It's a 4-track. It's on Bandcamp. There's a limited amount of tapes still available. And yeah, that was kind of my, like, first fleshing out of what I really wanted to do with it, because I was really just kind of learning how to play digital synths off a tiny Akai controller I picked up, a copy of Reaper I'd got, and just whatever microphones I had, and my bass and a few, like, overdrive pedals and plugins.
Well, I was going to ask about, the industrial thing. I think a lot of people reference industrial as whether it's an influence or a type of music they're into or something that's kind of just floating around in what inspires their bands. But I mean, a lot of the time that'll just be a little bit of electronics, kind of like a drum machine sort of shows up for a chorus or something, right? And it's not necessarily sort of an in-depth journey into that whole realm. But this album and your sound in general, I mean, you go full on into that really heavy. You mentioned Godflesh, and I think that's a great example. I love that band, and this has similar vibes in the sense that it has the driving beat behind everything, as most industrial music does, but then the extremely heavy and harsh vocals and yeah, it was, I wasn't sure what to expect before listening, because like I said, I mean, that term industrial gets thrown around a lot, and sometimes it's really not that prominent of the sound, but this you dove right in.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to, like, kind of cover my bases in terms of, like, what people think of it. Like, there's a bit of stuff people you'd probably associate with Nine Inch Nails in the industrial rock vein. There's a lot of stuff you'd associate in the Godflesh vein, like Cure and Street Cleaner, particularly in the drums. There wasn't a live drummer on that. I programmed it all, and all the samples are actually samples from the Alessi's HR-16, I believe the name of it is. It's the drum machine that they use on Pure. I know that. I made sure to get the exact samples of that drum machine because I really wanted to just sort of overdrive the shit out of them and, like, just sort of really get close to that sound, because I think, like, as far as, like, you don't have an actual drummer, like, the drum sound on Pure is just the best thing you could get to replace a real drummer. It's absolutely massive. It's crushing, at least in terms of metal, like, such a good record.
Yeah, I think
anyway.
I think that the drums on that record, I mean, and it's weird saying the drums because it's a machine, but the drums on that record are among my favorite drums on any record. Like, I you're absolutely right. That's my favorite Godflesh record, and I think that, like, the drums are so... I don't know if it's like that they're more prominent than they are on other records, but they have, there's something to them that really stands out, that like from the first track all the way to the end.
Yeah, it's definitely like Street Clean is nice for the dirgy droning thing, but Pure really makes you want to get up and like start like go through like a junkyard full of cars and with like a baseball bat with nails in it and just like let out some feelings on everything around you. And that's the kind of Godflesh I really enjoy, and that's what gets me going. But yeah, there's part. There's a lot of stuff in my music that would call that. There's a lot of stuff that would call to early Rob Zombie, the other side of industrial metal, because like, and that's also just the part of like, well, one, Rob has been a pretty early influence on me, like his stuff in White Zombie and yeah. Rob Zombie. His compilation/anthology CD, Past, Present, and Future, was I think one of the first CDs I ever bought with my own money, actually. So if that like traces it back to how big of an influence, I've seen him live like 3 or 4 times. I think it's always an absolute spectacle on stage. His music's fun as hell. I love his movies, no matter how campy they are. Maybe not his attempt at the Halloween series, but everything else is really good.
That's, yeah, I can see the White Zombie. I mean, Rob Zombie and White Zombie. I never really got too much into his solo stuff, but I love White Zombie, and I can definitely hear some of that in what you're doing.
Bye.
like we kind of covered earlier, you have been in other bands, and primarily you were the bass player, right? I mean, you were the guy playing bass in all these bands that are playing different styles, indie rock, whatever. What was the transition like for you from just being the bass player to now being the front man as well? I mean, I know you're doing this live with a full band. This got to be a bit of a different mode for you than just being sort of, you know, the guy in the background, right?
Oh, 100%. Like, I've always kind of, like, dabbled in, like, I've always kind of been okay at playing guitar, like, just acoustically and as something I could bust out in, like, the sense of a jam session, like, a competent rhythm guitar. Not good at metal music, certainly. That took a lot. That took some effort and some still does. I wouldn't consider myself adept as a metal guitarist. I can get through my music pretty well at this point. I mean, I've been recording it up until this point, but it's funny. The album is actually, I wasn't playing guitar by that point yet. That album is still, the debut album is actually still recorded. It's pretty much all just a really overdriven bass and just kind of EQ'd to sound like a guitar in some places.
Cool.
I decided to just put myself as in, I just tuned it to an D, G, D, G, and decided to treat the two bottom strings like they were the bass strings and the two higher strings like they were the guitar strings. And I was like, all right, well, Max from Sepultura could write riffs on three strings. I can probably still do it on two. Like, it's going to be a little simplistic, but, like, no, Kerry King only needs one string half the time to do what he's doing. So, like,
when you have so much distortion and they're so overdriven that it almost doesn't matter, right? It's, I mean, it's more about sort of the pile driver of sound rather than any kind of intricacies on what the guitar would be doing if it was a guitar or what the bass is doing.
Exactly. Plus, like, sometimes less is more in that sense. Thinking within a box in a songwriting sense can be pretty gratifying. Like a guitarist I used to play with in Dead Century was fond of saying, like, you have no idea. A lot of people outside of metal have no idea just how much you can do with the first four frets of the guitar. That's what it's all about. You don't need anything more than that, really.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. So, you know, as far as transitioning this to the live show, obviously, in recording this stuff on your own, especially with the pandemic sort of being involved there, you're kind of, you know, you're probably sitting in a room tinkering with this, right? I imagine this is one of those projects that, because you're doing everything, yeah, on the recordings, you had sort of the time to piece it together. But obviously, you know, you're playing it live with a band, other people have to learn these parts. What has that transition been like from switching from just a recording project to now you have to involve other people, now you have to actually perform these songs that you wrote?
Yeah, that took a while. Trying to take it to the period of being, like, a little bit more of an actual, like, working band that plays shows and does stuff in a more normal post-pandemic sense has been weird and a lot. I forgot how many things you have to do, especially when, like, you're the face of it and you kind of branded it just as a solo project where you're the only member and everyone else is just kind of there for the live shows, which is that's how the project is by design. Like, that's what I've set up for myself. But yeah, it was just a little surprising, but, like, I'm rolling with it. It's just a lot of stuff, but first it was tabbing everything out and making sure I had some legible tabs that everyone could follow and that were in formats that were easy to get, making sure they're nicely organized and everything. Having demos, not only demos that were, like, not only just sending them the album songs, but so one song on the album, because I like to make things a little bit trickier for myself than they need to be, I decided I had to record one of these songs on the album in C sharp standard instead of D standard, as is the tuning I use for almost everything else. So I had to re-record a rough demo that people probably hear unless anyone wants to hear, like, weird B-side stuff where I decided to do stuff like that. But, like, a weird just demo for live purposes of the whole song up half a step with a new interlude just for the live band. So I had to do a rough demo of that. And then it got to teaching people, where I worked with the drummer for about a month and a half or so before taking stuff to the rest of the band. And I'm lucky in the fact that my current live band is about 3/4 of the punk band Screaming at Traffic. I've been friends of mine for a while, playing Greek Rites with a few of them, Duncan and Stefan being part of the live band, and Paul has been one of my friends for well over a decade at this point. He is helping out on bass. Hugely lucky. They've made it really easy.
again, because this is a solo project and this is sort of your first kick at this, having people you trust and you've worked with and that you have that connection with already from previous bands, and teaching them the material has got to be, it's got to be easier than just, you know, getting a bunch of random people that you've never played with before and trying to sort of start from scratch. Like, they know where you're coming from at least, and they know, I guess, what your abilities are and from having been in other bands with you.
Yeah, getting Stefan on board on drums was a pretty huge deal because we've known each other since early childhood, like since we were toddlers, basically.
Cool.
We've been like sort of playing music together in some way, amateurly or professionally, like in some way ever since. So pretty easy to communicate with, obviously, and it was nice to get him on board to teach the songs first and help me finish a couple songs that aren't on the album that are being played live. So he was able to kind of help me jumpstart my own songwriting a little bit more. And yeah, huge asset to the band. Having said, as great as you guys have been, I mean, they are pretty busy. They do screening of traffic, and obviously everyone has their own personal lives. So it's going to be a revolving door at some point. Hopefully not too much of one, but even if it is, like, I don't know. One thing I've also liked, having been a metalhead for years and seeing some of my favorite legacy metal bands, is lineup changes. They're inevitable.
Sure.
And sometimes, you know what, you end up actually just being excited to see what X new guitarist is going to bring to, be it Megadeth or, like, doesn't have to be Megadeth, whatever other band. If someone gets a new singer because X issue with whatever lead singer, you're excited to see what the new person brings to the table.
Sure.
Maybe the songwriting thinks, maybe it takes off.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that metal in general seems to be more open to the idea of revolving lineups. Because I mean, just thinking of Megadeth's a great example, but really any like high profile metal band, they've gone through. Black Sabbath went through how many singers, right, over the years? Like, I mean, some good, some not good, but it's interesting because I think a lot of other styles of music, that's not necessarily cool. Like the idea of switching pretty much everybody when necessary, but yeah, metal seems like it's okay.
Yeah, there's like one original member in Judas Priest, and it's the bassist that like pretty much holds down the root note for the entirety of the songs. No offense, Ian Hill, I love you, man, you're great, but like it's just weird, you know. And then Black Sabbath got to a point where they're basically hiring, like, it seemed like whoever, anyone off the street, and like getting them into the vocal booth to replace Ozzy for 2 weeks before Ozzy would come back, quit, get replaced by someone from Deep Purple.
Yep.
And then when someone off the street would come in, Dio would come back, you know what I mean?
That record with the Deep Purple guys is underrated, but anyway, yeah, I legitimately like it.
Anyone who says otherwise. Yes.
So what happens next with this project? I mean, obviously you're playing shows now, the album's been out for a few months already at this point, and you mentioned a few minutes ago, you know, other songs that weren't on the record. Do you have a lot of new material at this point, or are you still mostly focused on the songs from that record?
I got it. I need to kind of start. Honestly, I was pretty like wrapped up in like teaching the live band, getting this thing out into the public. I haven't really, you know, worked the record in terms of like, you know, talking to like, you know, radio stations. Like, this is one of the first like more like press related things, I suppose, I've done for this. I was just kind of psyched to do this because it's been a while since we've talked.
It has.
I wanted to like. And it was nice to do like a longer form history of the project. This is a nice vehicle to do it on. So that's cool. But yeah, I could probably start to work the album that exists more. Maybe do a video for a single for something I haven't written, or a single for something off the album. I'm kind of in between deciding. I'll nail it down over the winter after this October show, which is happening on the 18th at the Handsome Daughter. Reception Check, Vitiate, and Slushhead are playing with us. That'll be a fun one, but that's going to be the last show for the year. Might do something early next year, but aside from that, I also have 4 songs written, and I'm just kind of thinking of the means of recording that, whether it will be another home recording, whether I will hit up a studio or someone else for that, or I'm not sure, but I have songs written, and I do want to get an EP out early next year.
Cool. So I guess like with a project like this, how it seems like is it one of these things where you can just do sort of indefinitely because it's just a solo thing? I mean, I think that's sort of the advantage a lot of people have when they're doing these home recordings and these sort of individual projects, is you could potentially keep doing these forever, or you could do a bunch of other bands, come back to this 10 years from now. I mean, it must be nice to have this sort of project that's just you that can be done on your own schedule.
Yeah, and that's kind of why having it as just me was like kind of why I wanted to start that, because of like I said at the beginning of this, nothing against any of the bands I've part in, certainly not to diminish anything I achieved them, but like after having spent so much of my serious musical career being a part of like things other people have started, it feels pretty good to like be a bit of a control freak about this one. And second of all, the thing is, I can keep it going however long, at whatever pace I want to. I'm not really beholden to like an actual band schedule or anything. And big inspiration was people like Trent Reznor, who have like kind of turned it around and been like, well, maybe the musical side of this is on hold and I'm going to go produce someone instead for now. Or like, maybe forget putting out stuff with vocals. I'm going to like, you know, do a soundtrack or something.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Have you found sort of a, I mean, I know you already have ins to a number of local music, parts of the local music scene from your previous bands, but have you found a scene for this? Like, have you found other artists that sort of have a similar vibe to what you're doing here?
Honestly, not really, because I'm also a little like unsure of what I'm even doing solidly right now. There's elements of noise, there's elements of industrial, there's a lot of industrial metal and noise in on the recordings, and live it comes across more like some hybrid of industrial metal and thrash metal, kind of like a hybrid of like Ministry, Rob Zombie, and Slayer in a live setting. And like so far, like, it's been kind of fun just like hitting up whoever's interested in playing shows. I kind of like the idea of just like sneaking onto bills or like sneaking into being the odd band out on a lot of bills. It'd be cool to find bands that are doing what I'm doing, but I also kind of want to just play with whoever. Like, we played with quite a few punk bands. It was all punk bands on the last bill. It's going to be cool to play with a few more metal bands on this next show. And I'm also kind of relearning about like what's out in heavy music in Winnipeg right now. I'm pretty up to date on a lot of stuff that's happening in punk music right now. Less so metal music locally, actually. And I'd like to learn more about the industrial side, or like stuff even heavier than that. Cause honestly, I'm a little unaware about what's happening in my own city as far as that goes.
Well, and you know it exists, right? I mean, Winnipeg's one of those cities where no matter what type of kind of music you can imagine, someone is doing it, and someone's doing it really well for the most part. Like, that's usually how it happens.
There's five people in a basement or some loft in the exchange, like, crushing it at or whatever.
And they've never played a show yet, but suddenly they're going to appear, and it's going to be amazing. I was going to ask one more thing about the live part of it. Is this something you can do solo? I mean, I know obviously you're doing it with a band now. It sounds like you're enjoying that part of it, but like, could you, I don't know, get a laptop and a mic and do this as a solo thing, or is that not something?
Thought about it.
Yeah,
definitely thought about it. Yeah, I've kind of thought about whether I would want to do the route of doing more like long form jam version of my songs. Like, I could just sort of sample a few guitar riffs and maybe sort of just remix my own material live on stage. Like, you know, bring a synth pad, maybe bring, or just bring my laptop and bring a bunch of samples I have loaded up, I have loaded, play some loops, bring a guitar and a synth, and I've thought about that honestly as a easier way to tour. Honestly, like, if I can't get a live band together for a full tour, if that's unfeasible, then certainly a lot easier to tour by myself, right?
And so, cheaper.
Yep, exactly. That's one option. And also, I haven't really explored it too much in the physical release set yet. There's a couple things I've thrown out here and there on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, but there's a few dark ambient tracks I've done with this project, like just full-on drone or dark ambient tracks, and I could just do a set of that and like just sort of assemble, like, did a couple of hardware synths, a cassette tape, and that's kind of another side thing in addition to the live guitar, is getting set up a sturdy like analog synth and cassette tape and looping rig for these instances where I'm gonna play a solo gig or something a little more improv based.
Cool. So how do people hear this at this point? I mean, I know, like we've mentioned a few times, that you have a record out. It's out on CD and tape, and obviously digitally as well. Where does someone find you if they want to hear this music we're talking about?
I'm on every streaming service, all the usual ones like Tidal, Spotify, YouTube Music, Amazon Music, you know, all the things people use for that. I'm on pretty much all of them. Also, spinalfluid.bandcamp.com. You can find all this stuff. There's another, there's one EP I recorded during the pandemic for a Discord event on a music server. And then there's one before that of a four track I did with my aforementioned friend Sylvie that you can also find on the Bandcamp. Limited cassette copies of those still available that you can get at the show.
Cool.
That's
the 18th, right? October 18th?
Yep, absolutely. It's Friday, October 18th at the Handsome Daughter. It's going to be really fun.
Awesome.